This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're tuned to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. On August the 1st, it will be exactly 6 months since the military in Myanmar seized power from the Aung San Suu Kyi-led National League for Democracy Party, which won the election in a landslide in November last year. Protests are still ongoing, even as the military government launched deadly reprisals against them. Reports say nearly 1,000 people have died. Many are observing a form of civil disobedience, and these include those in the public sector. BFM's Keith Kam spoke to Chow Mo Tun, Myanmar's permanent representative to the United Nations again, to find out more about the double crises the country is facing, COVID-19 and daily protests against an unelected military government.
Ambassador Chow Mo Tun, the last time we chatted was in early April, and on August 1st, it is exactly 6 months since the military took power. Protests have been ongoing since then. Can you tell us what the latest is? Are these protests still sustaining?
Yes, of course. You know, the protest is still going on, but it's not like, you know, one we have in March or we have in February and in early April. But the desire of the people is still strong. The determination of the people against the military and the military coup is very, very strong. So that is very continued. You know, despite all kind of violence acts and the, you know, inhumane acts and all the pressure by the military, the people, especially our young people, girls and boys, risking, like again what I mentioned before, you know, they again risking their own life to protest against the military. It's this, that is why, you know, whenever I hear their protests in, you know, all over the country, like it's not the big scale, but it's a small scale. But it's a bit, you know, the here and there that, you know, they protest. That is why I really salute them. You know, I'm really proud of them, you know, because they are very determined. They are very resolute to end the military coup and to restate the, you know, democracy in Myanmar. So the protest is still going on, but it's not like we, you know, the before.
Yeah, and given that the military is unrelenting in the way they are cracking down on these protests and the death toll keeps rising as well, how long do you think this can keep on going? What is keeping up the morale among the Myanmar citizens?
To me, that it is because of the desire, because of the willingness, because of the determination of the people of Myanmar. I think this were going on until the end of the military coup. So that is what I see is from their, you know, protest, their desire, you know, their speak up. So that is what I see is that it's where still going on until the end, because the people of Myanmar are very clear that we will not give up. So it's very clear message that it's already sent to the, you know, international community. Even though we really looking forward to, you know, receiving the, you know, decisive action from the international community. And sadly, we haven't got any decisive action from the international community to stop violence in Myanmar committed by the military. So that is why, you know, the people ourselves, we will not give up. We will fight until the end. So it's like going on until we achieve our goal of ending this military.
Now, Ambassador, you are still the recognized ambassador to the United Nations for Myanmar. And the fact that you remain so, what does that say?
Yeah, it's very clear that, you know, the international community do not recognize the military. It is very clear because since the 27th of February, the military dismissed me and they sent number of letters to the UN. And, you know, those letters, because this coming from the military and the illegitimate military council, so they don't recognize them as a government, so that they do not take into account of any communication coming from the military. So it is very clear that, you know, the United Nations, the international community, do not recognize the military. This is very clear message that international community is giving.
So who do you represent? Do you represent the shadow government, the National Unity Government?
You know, since the beginning, I'm working for the elected civilian government, and then also I'm working for the people of Myanmar. So the National Unity Government appointed by the CRPH. CRPH is composed of the, you know, members of parliament who were elected in the, you know, general election held in November 2020. So it is very clear that I'm working closely with the National Unity Government and I'm working for the elected civilian government. I'm working for the people of Myanmar. So I have very close contact with the National Unity Government. I very, very closely we are working.
I'd love to talk about that a little bit more, but before that, I just want to get your sense of how are people taking what is happening to Daw Aung San Suu Kyi. We know that she will likely be tied up in court facing charges from breaching the Official Secrets Act to owning walkie-talkies as well as corruption. All these alone, without even needing her to be convicted, will keep her out of politics for the foreseeable future. What's the response on the ground like?
Daw Aung San Suu Kyi, as you know, she is always in our heart, our mind. So even though she is under detention, we hear her, on and off. So that is very important, because her messages, her thought, her policy, her principles stay prevail. It is very clear, because the National Unity Government and then also the National League for Democracy, they are really, working for the country. So the policy, the principles laid out by the National League for Democracy, also those are the, also the principle and policy laid out by the Daw Aung San Suu Kyi. So through that principles and policy of the National League for Democracy, our policy, our principles stay prevail. And then also that is why I really like to stress that, the trust of the people on the Daw Aung San Suu Kyi is very, very high. So you compare to, what happening now with regard to the COVID. This COVID is, third wave that we are facing. You look at the first wave and second wave that, the Aung San Suu Kyi-led government handled the crisis very, very well. And so the message of her to the people is very clear. We have to work together. People are the key. So we cannot separate the people from the government. We cannot separate the government from the people. It's very clear that, the elected civilian government is of the people, by the people, for the people. So that is very, very clear that. So her messages, her policy, her principles is very, very much, with us. Now, as you know, the charges against her, so I don't want to use the word ridiculous, it's really ridiculous, because look at the corruption and, other sort of things. Look at her, she already, sacrificed all her life, even her family life. So what for is she correct for anything? This is very clear. The charges against her is really ridiculous. So for us, it is not acceptable. So that is why we need the justice in Myanmar. To get the justice, we need to end this military.
Who leads the National Unity Government in the absence of Aung San Suu Kyi?
Of course, we have the acting president, Lua Lashila. And then we also have the Prime Minister, Mamun Kaitan. And then also we also have the ministers. So that's the way we work together. Of course, according to the protocol or the decision with the consultation with the respective ministry and the respective stakeholders, the decision coming from the acting president and the Prime Minister. So it is very clear. Also at this time, the National Unity Government is working with the all relevant stakeholders. What I mean is that, we talk to all the NGOs, all the civil society, all the governments who are, willing to talk with the National Unity Government is reaching out to all the relevant stakeholders and then consulting with all the people concerned, not only within the National Unity Government, but also outside the National Unity Government. This is the way the National Unity Government is working.
Where is the National Unity Government situated? Is it in the country or outside?
Yeah, as you know, because of the situation, we have to work very carefully. Even so, I hope you do understand me to, not mentioning the location of the government. Because as you know, most of the time we meet online. We thank the advancement of technology. We thank this ITC, because what we are having, even though we are 11 hour time difference here in Kuala Lumpur, but we stay get connected and we stay talk whenever we want to. So that's the way the National Unity Government is working.
Can you talk about the reports of collaborations with the ethnic armed rebel groups or even any local militia that's taking up arms against the junta? Is the NUG working with them? What's the mechanics like?
I don't know in details, but I have some knowledge and also some information. What I mentioned may not be complete, so please do bear with me and please do understand me. Of course, since the formation of the CRPH as well as National Unity Government, we reach out to the EAO. Also, we also thank the EAO for accepting our people. What I mean, our people is the people who joined the protest, people who joined the CDM. They have to run away from their respective home. Some of them are in the ethnic arms control area. So at this point, we thank them for receiving, them very warmly and the hospitality that, they extended to the people who seek refuge in the respective area. The reason that I mentioned this is that, the closeness that we have between the National Unity Government and the Sam Ethnic M organizations. NUG have the very regular contact with Sam Ethnic M organization. As you know, since many of us are in the KNU area and many of us are in the KIA area. So we working very closely with CNF, Chin, National Front, and also the KMPP, KNU, and KIA. So that's the way we are working. National Unity Government do have regular contact with EAO and do have very close consultation with EAO with regard to the fight against our common enemy, the military.
Is the NUG engaging with ASEAN in any way? Do you all have contacts with people from there?
Yeah, I do understand that the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of National Unity Government have contact with some members of ASEAN. So I'd like to confirm that there is a communication between the Minister of Foreign Affairs of National Unity Government and some member states of the ASEAN.
Right, so you engage with ASEAN as well as the fact that the UN recognizes the NUG, hence you are the ambassador for Myanmar. I'm just curious what the prognosis of all this succeeding and having the international community coming together to take some concrete action against the junta, because at the end of the day, China and Russia will likely be the stumbling block. What is your take on this?
The recognition issue is not that easy, because the respective governments, they have their own principles, they have their own policies. So we should need to respect the principles and policy of the respective government. But for us, the National Unity Government, we continue to try at most to get the recognition from the international community. So of course, there is a link between my credentials and the recognition of the National Unity Government. Here in the UN, people, trying to, support the democratic process in Myanmar. What I mean, it's here in UN, many of the member states are very supportive towards the democratic process. So it's mean that they also, express their strong support towards me. They want me to remain the permanent representative of Myanmar. So now we are still in the 75th session of the UNGA. That is why, the coming session of the UNGA, that is the 76th session of the UNGA. So now many people are expecting that the UNGA will decide the credentials of me, and the credential may likely be submitted by the military. So that will be the discussion within the Credential Committee and also may come up to the General Assembly plenary session. So we don't know yet, but we are also working on this. So that is why, through you, I also like to appeal international community, please listen to the voices of the people and please support the democratic process of Myanmar and please support the people who are working for the restoration of the democracy, return the state power to the people through the elected government. So supporting me as a PR of Myanmar will be definitely reflecting supporting the democratic process in Myanmar, because very clear that we cannot keep military longer in Myanmar. We have to end the military. To end the military, it is very important that not only the strength from the people of Myanmar, but also the support from the international community is very, very imperative.
Your Excellency, I'd like to bring your attention to this report that I saw. The NUG, the spokesman for the NUG, Dr. Sasa, he says he's preparing to file an international lawsuit against the military junta and General Min Aung Hlaing for crimes against humanity. How is this coming along?
This is very, you know, not only the determination of the National Unity Government, but it's determination of the people of Myanmar to bring the perpetrators, including the leadership of the military, to justice. Because as you know, our domestic justice system is already failed. We need to bring these perpetrators to the international justice system. So where we can go, that is, you know, the ICC. But even though we are not the state party to the Rome Statute, but definitely there are the ways that we can bring those perpetrators to the ICC. So there is the Article 12.3 of the Rome Statute where we can seek the jurisdiction of ICC on the crisis in Myanmar. So that's what we are working on. So I think in due course, I think we can inform the international community and we can inform the people of Myanmar that we have already requested the ICC to have the jurisdiction over Myanmar, especially those perpetrators of the, you know, the atrocities and the crimes against humanity.
And speaking of these crimes, the United Nations has also disclosed that dozens of children, in fact more than 70, have been killed and about 1,000 of them detained in the past 5 months in your country since February 1st, since the start of the coup. This is really devastating. It's a very scary numbers. And is there some credibility to these reports? And also you are at the United Nations. What is being discussed?
Actually, you know, the numbers must be more than that. But the number that we refer to is the numbers appear on the AAPP. So because they put those numbers after verification. Also, there are the, you know, definitely the children, the people, including children being killed, mothers, in some other areas, especially in the remote area, where those verification be difficult. So we are very, very confident that there are more number than what we have now. Because actually, you know, some of our colleagues, the National Unity Government, they receive the information from the individuals. Some information are same as mentioned in the AAPP, but some are not. It is not included in the AAPP. So that through our channel, we find it out. And sometimes it's possible, sometimes it's not possible. That is why we can say clearly is that, you know, the number, the actual number is more than what we have in the AAPP. I also thank the AAPP for getting all the numbers on the public. But the thing is that, you know, they try, you know, their best to get the verification. But at the same time, the message that I like to convey is that the numbers definitely will be more than the number that we have. So it is so sad for all of us, the National Unity Government itself, the people ourselves, and then also, you know, I myself here as a PR of Myanmar, I try to convey this message just to the international community through the different channels, like, you know, talking to media like you, and then also sending letters to the UN Secretary General, also the President of the General Assembly, also the permanent representatives of the member state of the UN here in New York. And also I make public those kind of information in the Facebook of the permanent mission of Myanmar. So that's the way I convey these messages to the international community. I really, really wish that, you know, international community, in particular the UN Security Council and the UN, hear the voices of the people of Myanmar and listen carefully and listen, you know, attentively to the voices of Myanmar. Accordingly, they should take action, decisive action, immediately to save lives of innocent civilians in Myanmar. So this saving lives of innocent civilians, this phrase being used for, you know, more than 3-4 months already. But at this point, we really need the help from the, you know, international community, especially at this juncture because of the COVID. So as you aware that I sent the letter to the UN Secretary General on 14th of July, and really, you know, I really pointed out that the people are already crying out for help and the action from the international community. I hope the international community, through the United Nations, through the UN Secretary General, and through the member states of the UN. They hear the voices of the people of Myanmar and they take the action accordingly. So that is, saving life of the people. The COVID-19, we understand that sometimes it's difficult to control, but this is because of the circumstances that we face and controllable. In our case, are you aware that, if we take preventive measures well before, or we have the good management, we could have saved a lot of people even at this now. But as you see what happened in Myanmar, we don't see, that we can control it. So that is why it's really worrisome for us. So that is why even we are, asking for the humanitarian intervention in Myanmar to save lives of innocent civilians. Even, getting the oxygen for people in need is really difficult things that we are facing. It is ridiculous, The oxygen should be, free for everyone. Because of scarcity of oxygen is understandable. But because of the mismanagement, because of the, discrimination policy against the, the general people and those in military. So that is why we need help from the international community to stop what's happening now and to save lives of the innocent civilians in Myanmar. Please, I also like to, request you to speak out on behalf of the people of Myanmar to get the, decisive action from the international community. Please help us.
Now, for the COVID situation in Myanmar, understandably, vaccinations would have either stopped or slowed down. Also, civil disobedience would mean a lot of doctors would not be working. How is this playing out on the ground over there?
Yeah, so that is why, I think National Unity Government also issued the statement, also issued the open letter for helping us. I mentioned earlier, the trust is also very important. Look at it, during February, March, April, the military arrested doctors, healthcare workers, and the, volunteers who, dare to come out again because of the attitude of the military. It's very difficult for them to come out and doing publicly. But what I do understand is, the doctors are helping the people whatever way that they can. Even they're giving the, the online consultation to the people. That is why we are really appealing the, international community that, please, they have their own channel to provide the vaccine and provide the, necessary equipment to the people. So even the ethnic and control area, many of them are already in the, those areas. So they are happy to help with the, all the volunteers. They are happy to help with the international organizations and the, the NGOs and all the players for helping this situation. The international community, please come in and help us. So because at this point, we don't want anyone to wait for anything. They can come in, do whatever necessary to save lives of innocent civilians. So that is very important point that I like to stress. It is the time for the international community to come in to provide medicines and help related stuff to the people. The people are definitely the doctors and the other as such. We are ready to cooperate to provide vaccines and the others to the people in need.
Ambassador Chomotun, thank you very much for your time again.
That was BFM's Keith Kam speaking to Chow Mo Tun, Myanmar's permanent representative to the United Nations. Again, to find out more about the double crises the country is facing, both COVID-19 and daily protests against an unelected military government. If you missed any part of the interview, you can just search for the podcast at bfm.my/learn or on the BFM app.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.